Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching on God's will for your healing was recorded at our 2009 Dallas Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
I had one man come to me. His name was Churchill in Kansas City. And this man had a towel over his face like this, and he was talking and asked me to pray for him, and I couldn't understand what he was saying. And finally, I just said, look, you're going to have to move the towel for me to understand you. And he took the towel away, and cancer had eaten off his nose, his cheeks and everything, and you could see up inside of his cavities, his sinuses up in there, and it was raw and it was pouring out fluids. It was grotesque looking. This says that Jesus' face was marred more than that. I had a man come to me at that same set of meetings who had a big old thing over his eye, and he took it off, and cancer. He had cancer that had grown out of his eye. His old eye was gone, and this side of his face was all cancer. It was terrible looking, raw flesh. Jesus looked worse than that. And then the last part of this verse says, and his form more than the sons of men. That's talking about his body didn't even look human. I know some of you are thinking, oh, couldn't mean that. You go study this out, look in other translations, study the words out. This is exactly what it's talking about. His face was marred more than any human face has ever been. His form, his body, was marred so much it didn't even look human. You know, I know many of you saw that show, The Passion of the Christ, and it really brutalized Jesus and showed vivid detail. And yet Mel Gibson himself said that he couldn't make it as bad as it was because it would have been triple X-rated and nobody would have come. And according to the scripture, it didn't even begin to do justice. You know, the beating that he received, it showed Jesus brutalized and it showed terrible suffering and flesh exposed, but it still looked like a person hanging on the cross. The scripture says he didn't even look human. It wasn't recognizable as a person. I don't believe any amount of Roman beating could have done that. You know what this really is? And I hadn't got time to explain it. You can accept this as andiology if you want to, but it's, I believe, accurate based on my study of the scripture. You know what happened? He not only was beaten with whips and he not only had those things happen, but he bore the sickness of the world. Every sickness, every disease that has ever happened to the human race came into the physical body of Jesus. If you've ever seen these things on the internet where it shows people that have these warts and tumors all over them so that you can't even recognize their hands. They look like tree trunks. And elephantitis and people swollen up and terrible things happen. Every sickness, every malady, every disease that has ever hit the human race or ever will hit the human race, all of that sickness and disease entered into the physical body of Jesus on the cross so that his face looked worse than any person who has ever lived. His form was so bad he didn't even look human. And he didn't do that for himself. He did it for us. He bore our sickness. He carried our diseases. With his stripes we are healed. And so I just make this point that if Jesus bore that for us, why would you bear it? Why do we feel like somehow or another we have to bear these things? Either it's through deception because something has not been taught correctly, it's been mistaught, and we've been taught that this is our thorn in the flesh, our cross to bear, which is wrong. Or it is just some attempt to justify, and I believe that this is probably more true of ministers than other people, that it's an attempt to deal with failure. When you go to preaching healing, like what I'm doing, you aren't going to see every single person healed. I don't know why. I'm still learning. I don't have an answer. But you aren't going to see every single person healed. You know, I've got Dwayne and Hobbs back here, and he was my boss when I was pouring cement. Back before I got into the ministry, man, we had some awesome times. And I remember I was thinking during the praise and worship that a good friend of mine, my very best friend, when he got married, had a baby. It was born without surfactant in the lungs, which is something that clears your lungs and gets rid of all of the amniotic fluid, or however you say that, and allows a child to breathe. And this baby was born without this, and so its lungs were all clogged up with this mucus. And I remember Dwayne. Dwayne was much stronger in faith and healing than what I was. And so Dwayne and Jonay and other people came up to the hospital. And I mean, for 3 or 4 days, we had prayer going. We were fighting. We were rebuking. We were standing and believing for that little baby to be healed. And I stayed up there for 2 or 3 days, 24 hours a day, just standing there praying. But my best friend and I, we were really young in this. It was these other people that we were leaning on. And you know what? I remember that the doctor said that she had never lived. And then she lived through that day. And they said, well, she can't live another day. She lived through that day. And finally they said, well, if she does get over this and her body begins to start producing this surfactant on its own, the heart will kill her because it's been so hard on her. And we prayed and she got over that. And finally the doctors came in and said, we don't understand. It's a miracle. This baby is alive. It should be dead, but it's a miracle. And they called this baby the miracle baby. And we were all sitting around and just praising God and thanking God. And we had been up there for days. And so finally, Dwayne and everybody else left. And Steve and I were just left sitting there. And we were just thanking God for all of this. And then we got tired and we were about to fall asleep. And I mean, it's like somebody opened up a door and this cold feeling hit both of us. We weren't even talking. We were both falling asleep in this waiting room. And something hit us. Man, I jolted straight up and I sat up and I looked at Steve and he started crying. I mean, fear and unbelief hit us both tangibly. And we looked at each other and all of the people that we had been depending on were gone. And we were just sitting there on our own and we weren't strong enough. And you know what? We looked at each other and Steve started crying, and within 5 minutes, a nurse came out and says, I don't know what happened, but your little daughter just died. And she died. We had seen her come through it. They'd pronounced that she was the miracle baby, that she was going to make it, and boom, she died. And you know what? I don't understand all of these things. And when things like that happen, you want to come up with some reason like, well, must have been God's will. We did our best. But you know, the truth is, it wasn't God that killed that little baby. That wasn't God's will. And even though I have to accept responsibility that I wasn't as strong as I needed to be or whatever, I'm not condemned about it because, man, I was doing the best we knew how. We gave it everything we had. It's just like, you know, when I was sitting in my hotel room today and I was watching planes come in and land and take off. And I was thinking, you know what? Most of these planes, it's a miracle that they fly. I'm still amazed that a plane that weighs thousands, tons, can get off the ground and fly. It just amazes me. But I remember when there was a plane out here at DFW that was banking on a turn and all of a sudden crashed, and they said that it was wind shear about 15 or 20 years ago and everybody was killed. I remember in Colorado Springs that there was one that actually drove into the ground. It accelerated as it went into the ground, killed every person on board. And, you know, sometimes when that happens, they send in the FCC or whatever, FAA, I don't know what it is. They send in the government agency to determine what the cause is. Sometimes they can determine that it's pilot error, wind shear, or this or that. But if they can't find the cause, they never say, well, aerodynamics just weren't working on that day. It was impossible to fly. They never doubt the laws. They know that it's possible to fly. And sometimes they still can't come up with an answer, but they don't quit flying. They don't just say, well, it just doesn't always work. No, it does always work. We don't always know how to work it. We might have made a mistake. Maybe there was something wrong someplace, and maybe nobody's to blame, but something happened. I guarantee you there's a reason why planes fly, and there's a reason why planes crash. There's a reason why people get healed and there's a reason why people don't get healed. I don't understand it all yet, but you know what? I'm going to keep flying. I'm going to keep praying for the sick. I'm going to keep preaching the gospel. And my friend, he went the other direction because of a negative experience and quit believing that it was God's will to heal. That's wrong. You know what? I don't have all of the answers, but I do know that Jesus bore my sickness and carried my diseases. I know that my sicknesses came into His body. And there is no point in me suffering what Jesus has already suffered. I can't honor Him by doing that. Matter of fact, it's honoring God to say, well, He bore it, I'm not going to bear it. If somehow or another I could sacrifice one of my sons for you, and then you said, oh, well, I appreciate it, but you know what? I can bear this on my own. It's just fine. Well, then you've just voided my sacrifice. Why did I go to the effort? And there's a lot of people that just think, well, you know, I can live with this. I had a man come to me one time, and he had problems from head to toe. He says, man, I got this pain in my neck. It goes down to my back. He described that. His hips were hurting, his sciatic nerve. He says, all the way down to my feet, I got neuropathy. And he just named everything. And then he says, but you know what? I could live with the rest if you just get rid of the pain in my neck. And I said, oh, I understand. We better just pray for the pain in your neck, because if we prayed for all of this at one time, the lights in heaven might dim. I'm not sure God's got enough power to pull all of this off at one time. Let's not tax God. This guy just looked at me and he says, boy, that's pretty dumb, wasn't it? I said, it was real dumb. You know what? Jesus has already borne it. Why wouldn't we take advantage of it? There's people that are afraid. Well, if I step out, I might fail. Well, if you don't step out, I can guarantee you you're going to fail. I'd rather shoot at the stars and if you miss, hit the moon than to shoot at nothing and hit it every time. I don't understand everything, but I understand this. Jesus died for my sickness and disease. And I hate sickness and disease, and I am not going to bear it. And I am not honoring God by me bearing it. I fight sickness like the plague that it is. I hate sickness. I hate disease. And because of it, I walk in health. I would encourage you to adopt the same attitude. Amen. It all starts with knowing that Jesus bore your sickness and carried your disease. And don't hide behind Paul's thorn in the flesh or something else. Believe that God wants you well. That is the majority of the battle right there. If you believe that without any reservations, most of the time that will produce healing in your body if you don't compromise on that. Amen.
This teaching series was recorded at our 2009 Dallas Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a 5-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series RM239 when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. Be sure to specify CD or DVD. The second CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the second teaching when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111, and our web address is awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
I'd like to invite you to come to one of our Gospel Truth seminars. You know, there's people that listen to me on the radio or television every day, and they think, well, I already know what you're going to say. What's the point in going to one of these meetings? But for one thing, you just get the Word at a different level when it's not broken into little 15-minute segments. It makes a huge difference in the way that the Word impacts you. Plus, we have anywhere from 30 to 40 or 50 of our Bible college students, prayer ministers there, that minister to people. You get prayer and personal ministry, and it is just a dynamic atmosphere. Charlie and Jill LeBlanc do the praise and worship, and you'd be blessed. So make plans to join me at one of our Gospel Truth seminars.